Today on the Illini Inquirer podcast, Michael Tuop joins me to talk the latest in Illinois basketball. What is the impact of David Mirkovich's foot injury for this team? What is the silver lining for some players? What does he think of freshmen Quentin Coleman and Lincoln Williams and the battle for rotation minutes? We also talk about the next steps for transfer Stefan Vox and returners Andre Stojakovic, Tomislav Ivicic, Zvonimir Ivicic, Jake Davis. We hit on it all on the Illini Inquirer podcast coming up next.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. It is Jeremy Warner welcoming in Mike LaTulip. It's time to get Mike back on the pod and talk some hoops. We have been football heavy, getting ready for training camp and the start of Illinois football season. We got a summer of basketball news to catch up on, some buzz from Illinois basketball practice as well. But Mike, it is great to see you, buddy. How are you?
Great to be here. I don't know how long it's been. Probably like a month. Maybe
a month and a half too since we had you and Trotter on together.
Yeah, NBA draft probably around then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's when you do this during the season, weekly, and then the off season stretches hit like this. Yeah, I got my grandfather. Shout out to him. He's texting me all the time. You going on with Jeremy soon? Did you record it? I'm glad we can get him an episode.
And listen, I could have you on every week and the people would love it, Mike. But there's also like how we're going to be talking about the same things all the time. But it was time to catch up. I do have to say, Keaton Wagler going to the LA Clippers. You can see the power of LA. He's the star of their schedule release show. He's like,
great acting.
Jersey sells. I didn't know he had it in him, Mike. But yeah. Good for Keaton, man. Seems to be having fun out there.
I was nervous when they came out with the schedule release video, and I was like, does he have the chops? And like the bar is very low for I remember when Baker Mayfield was in all the progressive ads, it's like Baker's a good actor for a football player, for an athlete. It was probably taken too far. It was like, they're trying to give him Oscars and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I thought Keaton was great. I actually saw the movie that they were Obsession is the movie. If you're not into horror movies, I would not watch that movie.
That's why I have not.
I thought Keaton was phenomenal.
That's awesome. And I think summer league kind of what how we expected with him. There was a little bit of an acclimation process, but it was not anything Keaton can't handle. Like that kid can handle a little bit of setback and learn from it and not be overwhelmed by it.
It's one of the things we talked about pre-draft, and I think it's something that he's. Yeah, I think just because he overcame it in summer league doesn't mean he doesn't have to overcome it once the regular season starts. But you had Kobe Sanders in there, you had Cam Christie in there, very ball dominant guards and wings. And so where we talked about pre-draft with Keaton was like, can you remain as confident when you don't have the affirmation of having the ball in your hands all the time? And I thought he struggled with that early on. We're like, there's being tentative, and then once it was like Sanders and Christie were off the court, and it was like, it wasn't even really like the ball's in your hands. I mean, he was playing off ball, but things still orbited around him. The ball came back to him. It was a lot of like what Illinois did, where Mirkovich brought the ball up, or someone brought the ball up to just get them into Keaton with a live dribble. And so I thought, yeah, he took off. And the thing with Keaton and some of these other guys that people question coming into the NBA draft is like, hey man, production's production. And however he ends up getting there, however it looks aesthetically, like he produces.
Will Riley also too good for summer league. Good to see that. Gonna be an interesting fit on a team that's got some expectations now, but he's obviously proved himself as an NBA scorer, Mike.
He was a stud. That I think 32-point game I want to say he had, and he looked like the best player on the floor. And pretty sure DeBance was playing that game. And so, he's proven himself to be, on a Wizards team that I think has expectations of not just like, let's see if we can get into a play-in. I think in the East, that Wizards team can be a top eight seed. There's a reason they went out and got Anthony Davis. There's a reason they went out and got Trae Young. There's a lot of star power on that team, but I think Will fits in as a complementary piece. It's like, okay, he can space the floor. He can deck it a little bit. He's high feel. So it's, you know, it's funny going through. It's almost like watching NFL preseason too. It's like, hey, there's Luke Altmyer. Hey, there's Tommy DeVito. Hey, there's just like more and more Illinois guys, more than you or I have been accustomed to from like 2014 to 2020. You know, it's changed a lot, which is great.
Yeah, it's guys like Dane Danger, you'll see, Luke Goody, you know, guys that left and still found their way there. And Kylan gets the two-way deal with the Hornets, and it seems like Benham Rickhouse, you know, did what Benham Rickhouse does in the summer league. So I'm really interested in KJ in Milwaukee, especially too. But it is nice just to see guys getting that opportunity, and it's going to continue, Mike, with the roster they have now.
Yeah, and I think it's just more of a proof of concept. We've talked about that time and time again, that when it comes to recruiting and when it comes to transfers or guys coming out of high school, they notice that stuff. But like I said, it's cool to see it just not only with Illinois basketball, just with Illinois, you know, what Devin Witherspoon just did. I mean, it's like that, you know, you see what the impact of having culture changers at the top, what that can do with Brett Bielema and with Brad Underwood. I think you're seeing the fruits of that.
All right, Mike, let's dive into what we learned about Illinois basketball over the summer. I know you hear things, get to see some things sometimes, but obviously the big news of this summer is Davan Mirkovic undergoes foot surgery for an injury he suffered in late July here. No word yet on the timeline to return, but, you know, just hearing things, it doesn't sound like it's going to threaten his season that much, barring some setback here. But there is a lot of missed time here. So just when you heard this news, what do you think the fallout is for this team?
Well, I was at a happy hour / dinner situation, and I was mid conversation with this guy, and my phone is like, you start to see the people that are texting you, and you're like, I thought somebody might have died. I really did. Like, there was like all these texts coming through, and then after I checked and then saw, and yeah, I think anytime you have a big man with a foot injury, that's obviously cause for concern. I think you've seen it in the NBA over the years. Joel Embiid's gone through it. He went through it in college. Chet Holmgren, when he came to the league, Kevin Durant had it. I mean, you have those, like, I don't know what the exact diagnosis was, but like when you start getting those, like when you start talking like Liz Frank, Jones fracture, like those are ones that put you out. Like Chet Holmgren missed his rookie year. Durant missed a season. Those can be scary. And so the protocol to come back is what becomes very interesting too, because there's only so much that you can do. When Merez hurt his wrist or his thumb or whatever it was, it's like he can run, he can do this, he can do all, like the cardio, all that. And I know Merck had made a lot of strides in that area. This is where you just go back to, I think, trusting Adam Fletcher, and they have all the tools at their disposal from a rehab standpoint. They got the zero-G treadmills where, if, you know, the people that don't know, it's like you're in this bubble, and when you can run at 10% of your body weight. So if you're 250, you can run like you're whatever that is, 25 pounds. And it's taking out the wear and tear and the tread and the weight. And so you can get the cardio back without exerting that same amount of force. And so Kofi went through that, I think, at one point when he had a lower body injury, and they were working him back in. So they'll have all the tools. It's just a matter of some of the other components of, you know, schematically, where you had planned to, I mean, Joey wrote the piece, right? Mm-hmm. Like a week before it happened. A
couple days, yeah.
Yeah, like there's a lot that I think is still, you know, they still plan to have on his shoulders. But, you know, in the meantime, that changes a little bit.
As you said, Mike, they were going to run through Davan Mirkovic, and a lot of it this summer was running through him. The silver lining, if you want to make one, would be that now other guys have the opportunity to step up, maybe grow their games a little bit with him out. So I hate to say, like, who gains the most from this opportunity, because Davan Mirkovic helps everybody, but what is there to gain, and who has something to gain here in the, what, months that we expect Davan Mirkovic to be out?
Yeah, I think there's two parts of this, because I think we always look at it as man, more opportunity. And a lot of times when you look at a Quinton Coleman, when you look at a Steph Vox, like that's confidence because you have a little bit more margin for error because you'll have a little bit more autonomy. And so for those guys, yeah, I mean, I expect them, and for Tommy, no, I mean, I think Z's role is probably going to remain the same. But Andre, like these guys, yeah, they'll have increased responsibilities. I think that can lead to more confidence in what they're doing. But when you integrate David back, it's how well those guys can slide back into what their actual roles were going to be. And that can be hard for players because it's like you got, you know, the carrot was dangled and you got the exposure to it and it probably feels great. But what you'll realize is like when you integrate a David Mirkovic back into the equation, your life doesn't become harder. It becomes simpler. And it should become easier because he's bearing a bit of the responsibility that allows, I think, a Quinton Coleman, some of these guys, to do more of the simple things and excel at those things, become more efficient, all those things. And I think the last thing that I'll say is this is when you should be very thankful that you have a great system and a system that's been proven over the years to have great results. Because the thing that you want to fight when you lose somebody that you want to have as a high-level facilitator and as an action guy and as a guy that creates is you don't want to sacrifice shot selection. You don't want to turn the ball over. I'm thinking just offensively. So when you have a guy out like that, guys start to get a little bit more amped up. Like the shot selection can dip, the turnovers can rise. And I think they have a system that is built around, they talked about the bronze, silver, gold medal shots, like just high level shot quality and being able to play and optimize each guy's strengths so that they limit turnovers. And I think that's, you're going to have to really lean on that, I think, if David ends up missing any time during the season. And I think that should give you optimism because they've shown the ability to adapt and shape-shift a bit over the years.
We've seen this the last couple of years. Tommy's missed time. Andre Stojakovic missed time. And it takes time for a team to kind of gain that chemistry. I mean, that takes some time, even if they're all healthy. This is something they've been through, Mike. But what is the impact of if you're going into Texas Tech on November 10th and you haven't had a lot of playing time? If you're going into Duke on November 17th and haven't had a lot of playing time? That assumes that David will be back maybe potentially at that time. But what is the challenge for the team?
Yeah, I mean, because I think it's not like this was an apples-to-apples role that David played last year. I mean, a lot was in the hands of Keaton Wagler. David was more secondary to that, although he did some initiation himself. But from everything that you hear, like the load that they want to put on him this year would be a bit of a change for David. So, like, that's something that he has to get used to, too, not only just in a practice setting, but in a setting where, you know, can you get him back for the secret scrimmages or for the exhibitions to where he can just kind of go and do that in a live setting that's not just 5-on-5, 4-on-4 in practice. I think that's probably the most important thing. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be things that, like, I don't think out of the box with David that it's just going to be like I think he can grow into what people are talking about is like, hey, potential national player of the year, potential Big Ten player of the year, first team all Big Ten. I think he can get there. I think it's almost unfair to put that on him immediately. One, because of the injury. Two, because this is a level up from what he was doing last year. I think this is like we still need to see that play itself out. And this throws a bit of a wrench into that. But I just think it needs to be said because yeah. I agree with the way he's being talked about as far as like what David can be in February and March as he grows and learns how to take on that type of responsibility. But the expectation out of the gates is going to be like, hey, you know, the turnovers may need to be scaled down. And part of that just may be like a trial by error situation that comes from some of those early non-conference games against tough competition.
All right. We'd heard some great buzz about David Mirkovic during the offseason. I mean, Illinois is clearly excited. What do you make when healthy? Hopefully that happens for David Mirkovic, for college basketball fans, Illini fans, and David Mirkovic. What do you think that looks like, Mike?
Scary. I think he has such a great blend of, we saw his ability to space the floor last year, so you always have to honor him from the outside. Like, he doesn't need to blow by you because he can use his strength. Although he's, when I went to practice back in June, like, he just, it's very noticeable how he's changed his body. It's very noticeable that he does have what looks like to be more quickness. Now, that's not like, clear out every possession, let him cook, but like, they're going to do a lot that changes the geometry of the floor to let him be a passer, make reads. And I think he's earned that. I think he's earned that trust. He showed the ability last year to really, be a guy that, whether it's in back downs or being in that, delay spot where like you come down and you're playing five out or they shift the guy to the baseline, he can make all the reads. But, I think you look at some of those games last year where David didn't play particularly well, Illinois didn't play well. Yeah. That's like, you think about the Nebraska game. I think about, the UConn game. Some of those games were like, when he didn't perform well, it had a ripple effect on the team. And when he did perform well, Illinois was really damn good. And so I think if he plays at that level more consistently, and I think he figured that out by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Some of the defensive stuff, like in the Nebraska game, all that stuff that kept him on the floor and kept Illinois winning, he had a lot to do with. So I think that's what I think people are looking at when they see Illinois as a team that I think should be the preseason number one in the conference. He's right there because he impacted winning, I don't want to say just as much as like a Keaton Wagler or some of those guys last year, but pretty damn close.
Before we wrap up the David Mirkovich conversation, let's just say, Mike, we don't know a timeline. I don't think Illinois knows the exact timeline either. I think the hope is wouldn't miss any games of significance. But what if he does miss time? Like, what if he does miss time? Like, what does that look like for Illinois?
Well, it's why you got to be delicate with it, because a foot injury is not a rushback type of thing. And so this was, I'm trying to think back, when was the exact date? Was it August?
July 31st, I think.
Was it July 31st, yeah. Right? Was when he had the surgery?
Yeah, I think so.
Or he suffered it July 31st. Yeah, either way, I think any injury that takes place in the summer as opposed to the fall, and obviously as opposed to the season, that's more ideal than the other two. But yeah, I think it I look at Quentin Coleman and I look at Steph Vox, because like they're next on the list in terms of facilitators, and not necessarily facilitators, but like guys that you want involved in action. Like, Tommy's going to have more of an increased role, I would think. Andre, we'll see what he can end up doing outside of his just elite slashing and 2-point finishing ability. But I think that's, that's got to be exciting. Because you everything that you're doing throughout the course of the summer is trying to put these guys in situation to see what you have, right? Like, you can recruit guys high school, you can recruit guys out of the transfer portal, but until they get in your system, until they're with you on a day-to-day basis, you don't really, really know what you have at your disposal. So I think that's all the things that you got to look at for the implications of this injury and what it could mean for some of these other guys.
All right, guys, fall is almost here. The kids are going back to school. You don't have a lot of time to cook, but you still have goals. You still want to stay in shape and eat well. Well, Factor makes it easy with fully prepared meals designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs, so you can eat well without all the shopping or cooking. Best part about Factor, always fresh, never frozen, ready in about 2 minutes, no prep, no stress. And they're made of quality, functional ingredients, including lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats. And they got a variety of options, guys. 100 rotating weekly meals, including high protein, calorie smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, and ready-to-eat salads. Again, always fresh, never frozen, ready in about 2 minutes, no prep, no stress. So if that sounds good to you, head factormeals.com/Illini50off and use code Illini50off to get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for 1 year. Offers only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. Head to factormeals.com/Illini50off. Use code Illini50off to get 50% off your first Factor box. All right, let's kind of go big picture here, Mike. Like, what do you think needed to be accomplished this summer with this roster, with so many guys returning, but also you're adding a lot of new pieces to it? So, like, overall, like, big picture, what do you think needed to be accomplished?
Yeah, I think kind of what I alluded to there, like, you're pressure testing a lot in the summer, and it's a very gradual build. Usually the first, call it, you know, 3-4 weeks of the summer, it's, you know, very broken down. You have small groups getting with Cam Crocker and with Tyler, and hey, let's just get the bones of the offensive system. Let's get the bones of the defensive system. Maybe, you know, maybe there's some tinkering, some changes that are made. And then you start building up and you start implementing, whether it be, you know, late July or starting to get into August. Obviously, if you have a foreign tour, that changes a little bit sooner. But you're starting to see what guys can function in a system, because these guys, especially the high schoolers that are now freshmen, those systems are toss-ups. Like, so Ethan Brown didn't have a system.
Yeah.
It was just, hey, go out talent guys every game. And so you're looking at that, you're looking to see what guys can play a role. And then you're also, I think, you know, you're not just assuming that what you had last year with Stojakovic and Tommy and Z and Jake and David, like all these guys, you're not just assuming that, like, hey, you know, what they were last year is what they were this year. Because you need to still be diligent and continue to observe, like, have there been improvements made? Where can we experiment with a Tommy or with a David or with an Andre in different ways? What stays the same? Like, that's a constant vetting process that you have to do. It's not just set it and forget it with those guys. Because I think the more you assume it's set it and forget it, the more you allow those guys to play outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so you always have to have a constant focus and attention on making sure these guys are playing to their most optimized selves. And I think that's what you want to get out of the summer. And then fall starts to come and it's like you start to really dial in because you have data point on data point from the summer that you can then put into the fall and say, now we want to see these guys in these spots. Who rises, who falls? I mean, I think, and a lot of that, to be honest, I think you're looking at that 6 through 10 spot with a lot of those freshmen, 7 through 10 spot, those freshmen.
I was going to ask you, Mike, what changes, like, when, okay, you go home for a little bit in August, then you return for the school semester to start. What changes there once fall starts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it gives the young guys, it gives them a breather. You know, like, I think Tommy and Jake are, like, in Croatia right now. I think I saw Jake on an Instagram. I don't know. They're doing their thing. I think Kylan and Andre went to Greece last year.
Yep.
But for the young guys, it's, you know, there's so much that you know drinking from the fire hose for 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks, whatever it is, and then you go home in August. There's a little bit of reprieve. You know, maybe you get with, like, your trainer at home, or some guys stay. I mean, I know I wasn't far, so, like, I would always stay. I was also the only freshman, so it was like my head was spinning and I had no idea how to gauge my progress against anybody else's. Mm-hmm. But for these guys, like, you have this cohort of guys that are going through it, so you can lean on them, but they're also your competition. Like, there's a lot there for those young guys. And I think what's most important is that you don't want the treadmill to stop running. It's like, we've built all this up in August. Now guys go their separate ways at times for 4 weeks, and, like, we don't want to take a step back. So a lot of times, like, we would have, you know, Gross was very diligent and very detail oriented. I mean, he would give us this book binder, and it was like this big, and it was every workout that we did in our individual workouts, and it was like color coded, and this is the stuff that you can do when you're at home, and then in there also is like the workouts that we would do, the lifts from Monday to Thursday. Here's what we did on Friday, the conditioning, all that stuff. That's the type of stuff. Now, modern technology has made advances. I'm sure, like, these guys can probably have, like, a hologram of Fletch in their in the weight room with them. But yeah, I mean, like, that's the stuff that you would just want to build on the momentum that you've built from the summer going into the fall.
And that freshman story is huge, because obviously you get all these returners back, but these freshmen got to make an impact. And we expect Clinton Coleman to make an impact, and we'll talk about a kid who's risen otherwise, but Quentin Coleman sounds like he has reinforced his ranking here early on. So how do you envision his next step, Mike, and what do you expect out of him?
Yeah, I was just really impressed with him when I saw him in practice. I mean, he is a man, like he is a full tilt kind of player.
What do you mean by that?
Just, I mean, he's just always on 10. Like he's always on 10, for better or for worse. I think he's so talented offensively, so gifted as a shot creator and a shot maker. Defensively, he's very active on ball. He's long, so he's active in passing lanes. I think he'll have a number of like jump passing lane run out finishes this year. That's just, he just has that knack. I think the, you know, just from what I observed at practice, like as a freshman, what, you know, Keaton's superpower was like this even keel nature to him where it's like rough for first half in Nebraska and it's like, oh, nope, comes back and just does the thing again in the second half. And like where Quinton's going to have to, I don't even want to say improve, just like dial in is like, I say on 10 all the time and it's like, you know, it's both ways. Yeah. And so that's if you're a guy that's being tasked with a lot of responsibility, which he might be as a freshman, that's something you got to be aware of. Is like, hey, my team is going to look to me to be a, you know, a calming influence in some moments, especially if Dobbins out, and I got to be able to deliver that. And that's just all a learning process. And it's not an easy thing to do. No. Because you're hardwired to do something a certain way. And a lot of ways, that hardwiring is what makes you special. So how do you, from a leadership standpoint, and I'm not even saying he's like a bad, I don't want that to be conveyed at all. Like, but when teammates are looking to you, can you have that leadership and then also, and like even keeled nature to yourself and also still have that mentality that I think makes him special? And I think if he can do that, which I think he can, maybe a year in Champaign.
Yeah.
Or less than that.
Yeah, the talent is there, and then you can hear that there's excitement about him. But it's a reminder that Keaton Wagler, his poise was rare, man. We're probably not going to see that again. So probably see more some freshman things, which I think we should expect. Davin Mirkovich had that, right? Like Davin Mirkovich plays on 10.
Oh yeah,
and he figured out a little bit during the season how to kind of even that out a little bit. The other excitement here, Lincoln Williams made a name for himself this summer. I mean, we've all heard the buzz, Mike. I know you have. You get to see him a little bit. We talked about the athlete is different than what they've had. The length, they need somebody who can defend. But it sounds like he's had a strong summer. So what are your expectations for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a really exciting player because he's a guy that Illinois hasn't had a ton of these guys. Like, I think he's one of their more athletic guys they've had. And I say athletic, like functional athleticism. Like, I think he's a really good athlete vertically, but like, you know, has pretty solid burst. The thing for Lincoln is when you look at freshmen that play and freshmen that like to play is one thing, to stay is another thing, like stay on the court. I think there's three things that you need to be able to do offensively. You need to be able to, especially if you're not a Mirkovich, Vox, Coleman, if you're a guy that's going to play more of a complementary role, there's three things that you have to do at a high level. And if you do two out of the three things, then I think you can see yourself playing and potentially playing a good amount. You need to be able to space the floor. You need to be a good cutter, and you need to have enough of a sense of self to know your limitations to limit turnovers. That's how freshmen play. Freshmen that are complementary players, like that's how they get on the floor. Now, when I say space the floor, I think you immediately think about shooting, and that can be the case. Like if Lincoln proves that he can step out and, you know, be a guy you have to honor and you have to be aware of shooting the basketball, yes. But as a cutter, that's another form of creating space. I think, you know, Kenny Atkinson brought that to Cleveland before they got James Harden. Their whole thing was like, hey, we don't need just space with shooters. We can space with our ability to cut, because you vacate areas of the floor that then become open for driving lanes, that then become open for drives and kicks. So that's where I think he can make an impact offensively if he can check two of those three boxes. But like, dude, if you're just overwhelmingly great as a rebounder and defender, then you can give yourself more margin for error on that end. And I think that's where maybe you look at Lincoln Williams and say, okay, with the just the body type and the tools, is that where kind of Ty Rogers-y, like he can make more of that impact? And then the offensive game just kind of grows as he grows. Yeah. That's always the tough part for a freshman. And it's not easy, especially mentally, where you have to try to find your way.
Any other thoughts on the freshman? Because I would imagine he's competing with another freshman, whether it's Ethan Brown, Lucas Murillo, Landon Davis, for playing time.
Yeah, I think the same criteria applies to all of them. Yeah. I think where Ethan Brown has a really strong advantage is like Ethan Brown can shoot it. Ethan Brown is he can slash, he can cut. He probably, like I said, he didn't play with a ton of structure in high school, but, you know, he competes. I mean, I think same thing can be said about Zenz. And then Lucas, I think that's one where when you start looking at that criteria, it's like, all right, well, where does he fit into this? Does he have to be like a spacer, or is a Murillo, like, is that a guy where like he's best optimized on ball? Mm-hmm. And if it's not on ball, now what? So those are all things that doesn't matter if it's Lucas, if it's Ethan, if it's Lincoln, even if it's Quinn to a degree, like those are all things that you have to adjust to where, you know, all right, I'm playing a complementary role. And for maybe like an Ethan or a Lincoln, I got to be confident as heck in what I'm doing. And oh, by the way, I might get one shot. I might get four. I might get two. I don't know. But when I get that one opportunity, can I not put a ton of weight into that opportunity because it might be my only one? Like that is, it's like what I always think about. This is, and I apologize, this is a tangent that I don't want to go off on, but I'm going to do it. Because I've like had conversations with these people in the past, but like everyone talks about it with backup quarterbacks. It's like, hey, go in there and just let it rip. What do you have to lose? Everything.
Everything. Yeah.
What is Patrick Mahomes? What does he have to lose? If Patrick Mahomes throws four picks, Patrick Mahomes is starting the next game. If
Tyson Bagent has to go to a game, his whole career is on the line. Like, yeah, whatever his next opportunity is, like, it's all based on
like,
that.
Bajan, I feel like, he's getting paid like a solid backup.
Yeah.
Sean Clifford.
Sure.
If Sean Clifford goes into a game and throws four picks, Sean Clifford might not get another opportunity ever again.
Right.
And that's a dramatic way to say that. But like, the margin for error for guys that are 7 through 10 on a depth chart is small. And it's I've always talked about it. We're like Brad Underwood or Jeff or Orlando or Tyler or Cam, they're just gonna look down the bench, and when they lock eyes with you, you're gonna give them a certain feeling. It's either gonna be a feeling of trust or a feeling of I don't know. And you wanna be the ones that give that coach a sense of trust. And
you use the word,
that's hard for players, man.
And when it comes to the eighth or ninth player in a rotation, usually it's the eighth, right?
Yeah.
You use the word trust. I think that is the biggest thing. Like, I know fans want Brandon Pajemski or the most talented, like, four-star kid, like last year, maybe Brandon Lee, to play a little bit more. It's like, do you trust that guy to not make a mistake, but also be aggressive when he needs to be aggressive? And that's hard to do. Like, it's really hard to do when you're trying to build confidence in that 2 to 8 minute role.
You know, and it's interesting because it's why I love this game, because is Dre Gibbs Lawhorn more talented than Jake Davis? Yes.
Unquestionably.
I mean, you could probably argue it's not close.
Yeah.
But there are certain guys that when you talk about trying to mold something cohesive, that, you know, a really talented player like Dre Gibbs Lawhorn, it's really hard to, and it's not like it's anything against him. Some of those guys that are uber talented like that, it's really hard to scale their game down. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to do, because what makes, you know, it's like trying to tell Andre Curbelo, like, hey man, just like be risk averse and just like take care of the ball and don't turn it over. Like that's not what made Andre Curbelo, Andre Curbelo. Like with Andre Curbelo, you had to live with. When he was coming off the bench his freshman year, it was like, see what happens. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's what makes him him. Like, it's really hard for guys to scale their game down. So, like, for Ethan, for Quentin, for Lincoln, for Xavier, for Landon, whoever it may be, for Lucas, can you scale it down a little bit and still be confident and still be assertive and still be – it's not easy, man.
Yeah.
Testosterone naturally starts dipping for a lot of guys as early as their 30s, even ones who are already fit and active. It's not really about how hard you're training. It's about whether your hormones are keeping up with it. Lower T can mean flatter energy, slower recovery, and a harder time building the muscle you're actually working so hard for. If that sounds like you, you should check out Mars Men. It's a natural supplement designed to support healthy testosterone levels, which can help your body burn fat more efficiently and build lean muscle. Basically, helping things run the way they did years ago. No weird stimulants, no synthetic hormones, just real ingredients. It's made in the USA, third-party tested, and you actually find it at GNC nationwide now. When you take it, your energy will feel way more consistent. Lifts feel stronger, recovery is better, and honestly, there's zero risk in trying. They back it with a 90-day money-back guarantee, and over 91% of users report higher energy levels. Check the reviews on the site. Thousands of guys are seeing real results. For a limited time, our listeners at Illini Inquirer get 50% off for life, free shipping, and three free gifts if you go to mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and three free gifts at checkout. And when they ask where you heard about them, tell them Illini Inquirer sent you.
One transfer working his way in, and we've talked all about Steph Fox this offseason, but what do you think his transition has been like, and what do you think the next step is for him in a program that's way better than what Providence was last year, and his role will be obviously a little bit different?
Yeah, I mean, he has to learn how to function within a legitimate system. And it's a system that will give you a lot of autonomy and freedom, but on the other hand, it's like it's a system where you have to be open-minded to the simple reads that are there, because Tyler and that group will uncover those for you. And so that's the challenge for him that he's going to need to show that he can overcome, which I think he can. And then the other part of it too is, you've just talking, like, even just watching him in Providence, like, dude, you're almost 6'8".
Use it.
Play like it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes down to, anytime you've seen these transfers come in, Kylan, Terrence Shannon, Andre, free throw rate, boop, up. Turnover rate, down. It's just like, follow the blueprint. And a lot of times, like, the space that's being created, he didn't have much of it last year. He had a non-shooting five-man, and he had, a few other ball-dominant pieces. And now this year, it's like you should have a lot of space to be able to get downhill, finish around the rim, finish in the paint, get to the free throw line. And you just saw with Andre or with Terrence, it's like there's a calmness that comes over you, because if you can go get 5 to 6 points a game from the free throw line, you don't have to press offensively to get production. Like, that stuff will just come through osmosis of immersing yourself in the system. So you miss time with Estonia.
And
I thought he looked great in some of those FIBA matches and friendlies.
I mean, the shot making, the one-on-one shot making for this kid is ridiculous, but you don't have to do it all the time, right? You don't have to take these hard shots all the time.
Yeah, and you're going to have – look, like, the scouting is going to be at a higher level than it was in some of those FIBA games.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited for him. Like, this is the stuff that I always love watching is – even Trey White, to a degree, where, like, he came from very dysfunctional systems, and you're like, put him in a non-dysfunctional system and you see some real bright spots. And I think I have higher expectations for Steph Fox. I think everyone does.
Yeah.
And so that's what I love to see. Like, here's what he was in this system, and here's what he can be in a really strong system on a great team. So he's got a great opportunity in front of him.
That process is so fun to watch, isn't it? Like, Terrence's first year, like, being like, oh, I'm the man. Like, I have to figure out how to be the man. And then the second year was that guy the entire year.
Everybody wants it, man.
Yeah.
Like, everybody wants it. And going back to, like, our role guy part of it, you know, people, you know, the being the man at times is can be easier, right? Because, like, you know, like we talked about, there's a, you know, the you have more room for mistakes, and that I think allows you to grow and develop sooner into being like a full-fledged guy. Whereas, like, the role guys, it's, you know, you got to like learn and grow and develop and bloom in this very tight quarters. And then, you know, I think, but the strong outcome from that is, like, people put a lot of value in Jake Davis. And Jake Davis started as that guy. And he's just like, and Benham Rickhouse, like, they kind of started those guys and just like amplified into these irreplaceable pieces. Yep. So you see, like, you see both sides of it where guys can really grow within their roles.
We had Terrence. I had to learn, like, hey, I need to be aggressive more often because I'm the man now. And then you had,
what game comes to mind for you?
Well, I mean, UCLA is out in
Vegas. What game comes to mind for you where you're like, hey, Terrence, like, you're the guy?
Mike, I've covered
it. I'll just say it.
Go.
At home, December, Penn State.
Yes.
I think that was Fart Noise Brad.
Yes.
Like, that is like, because that game, I don't know if Terrence ended up like 4 points in that game. And it wasn't about the points. It was like,
where's that?
Like, you can't just stand in the corner. Like, no. you're a cornerstone here. So.
And then the flip side of that was Andre going from, I have the ball in my hands at all times because I have to score all the time, to figuring out how to be a part of a winning team. And that process was fascinating to watch. And I'll go off of that, Mike. What's his next step, year two? What's his year two look like?
I think, you know, it's going back and watching the NCAA tournament, going back and watching some of the performances that he put together last year. I honestly, I'm trying to think back, Jeremy. I really am. Like, at the wing spot, he is as talented of a two-point finisher. It is like, just some of the touch and the grace, and it's just
and there's power too.
Yeah, and the power, like, you just in real time, you almost sit there and you're like, I definitely don't think I took it for granted last year, but my God, the Houston game, the Iowa game, like, there were so VCU especially. I don't want to say like bailouts, but like, he came in and it was just like, huh, like, you could exhale a little bit because you knew that dude could get to the rim. Like, I think for him, it's like, I don't think you need to reinvent the wheel, man. I think you're going to be put in really advantageous spots again. I think you're going to be a guy that can get to the line again, that can finish around the rim again, and I think you can be there and say, you know what, yeah, I can be on a potential Final Four team again and average 15 points a game, and I really don't have to overextend myself to do it. Because when you overextend yourself, you become inefficient. And I just think, you know, like, he was probably a little trigger happy sometimes. From the outside, it was almost like he wanted to prove it, which I respect. But I think he can be a guy this year that can shoot 35% from three, but it doesn't have to be, I mean, whatever it was last year. I think he took 90 threes, yeah, or 80 or 90 threes. I don't think it has to be that many. I think he can take 1.5 per game and do it at like a decent clip. And then, you know, when you go and play professionally, you'll figure it out and continue to develop from there.
Shot 82 last year, and only shot 24.4%. So, being
over two a game.
Yeah,
right. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I mean, if you get like clear, I mean, you know, I've always talked about it, Jeremy. It's like, for a guy that's so talented as he is as a slasher and as a scorer and as a 2-point finisher, if you tell me that you have enough space to shoot, then odds are you have space to attack as well. Mm-hmm. So. And we'll see. Like, does because I don't necessarily feel like last year, and this is a credit to the staff, for how poorly he shot the ball, he wasn't really guarded like that, which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
It's like he's so talented as a scorer that, like, you can't just be like, I'm not going to guard him from the outside.
And the other part with Andre is he's one of those guys. I think he's the guy on this team that. I'm fine if he takes middies. Like, if he takes mid-range jumpers, he shot 44.3% from those. Those are good shots for him compared to most guys who shoot around 35 to 40, right? Like, I'm comfortable if that's the way, you know, he uses some of that space, because he's proven to be pretty good at it.
Yeah, and he, you know, and I think there were times last year he incorporated some of that you know, like he can get into your body and just get that little like kind of 1 foot, you know, fall away. And yeah, I mean, like I think 1 year in the system for him, I think, you know, if it's not ingrained in you by now, it's like they rep the shot selection thing every single day. That like you just, it'll just be in your bones. Like you'll just, you know, it'll just feel weird. It'll feel out of place, and it'll stick out when you feel like you're deviating from what, you know, is the most efficient version of yourself. So I'm very fascinated to see. And Tommy, you know, Tommy's another one where,
can I bring up, do we don't bring them up until like this late in the podcast? Like we just take these Ivicic twins for granted. It's just we kind of know who they are, Mike, but like Tommy is so important, obviously, and then Z is just such an X factor.
Yeah, and I think Z, both of them, like their 2-point finishing ability last year. I think I would have to go back and look on KenPom, but I think they were both like Z for sure. But I think Tommy was somewhere like top 20, top 30 in the country in 2-point finishing, which
was 8 or 9.
Was he up there that high? Yeah. I mean, both of them were I mean, Z was dunking a lot of them, but
Tommy was number 9 at 73%, and then Z didn't qualify, didn't have enough attempts, but he would have been top 1, I think. Yeah, he's 83%. No.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I think what you come to find is, like, for a lot of these guys, I mean, Tommy just, he started to, you know, I think he was low 50s maybe or mid 50s. He might have been like 62% from two his freshman
62
year.
62, exactly.
And, but that's a 10% jump from low 60s to low 70s. Like, that's pretty substantial. And I felt like even in the Iowa game, you could tell when they started to build that lead in the second half, they just established him
closer
down there at times. Like he, you know, he could get deep position. You know, he's, I've been there at practice. Like Tommy's freaking huge. Tommy's, I mean, they're obviously both twins are huge, and Z's put on a little bit of weight too, but I mean, that's just gotta be their deal. And then, you know, it's gotta be a lot of, I think for Tommy specifically, it's like punish guys in the post when you can get deep position, space the floor on pick and pops. And I think there's an avenue for Tommy too. Like you don't want to get too carried away with it, but if you're going to have 5 men who are lumbering guard you on pick and pops, I, you know, there's a part of me that trusts Tommy enough to just get by them and collect himself. And he's a good passer. Like it's not, it doesn't, maybe it doesn't need to be 5 dribbles off the bounce combo dribble, but like they're going to honor your shot. And if you have a guy that's 7'2" closing out on you, you go by him, maybe get a hand check. And I think that's like the next phase of his game within reason of like, hey, can you attack a closeout and make a read off of it? Attack a closeout, couple dribbles, guy commits, draw and kick. Like that's, I don't think that's crazy for Tommy to add to his game.
We mentioned him, but before we get out of here, Jake Davis, just be Jake Davis. So that all you're asking him to do in his senior year?
Be Jake Davis, man. Be Jake Davis.
Potentially 2 more years of Jake Davis, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, it's man, that is that because losing Ben is big. And I think you're going to need to make up some of the shooting, obviously, but like, forget the shooting. The winning plays, the defense, how timely he was, the block shots. Like, he did so much last year. And I talked about it when they went to the Final Four and all that stuff. But, like, I just don't think they get to where they got to last year without Jake and Ben.
Agreed.
And now it's obviously just Jake. But who else is going to step up in that role? I just was so impressed with Jake last year. And I think he ended the year with 8 turnovers. Him and Ben at one point was the only player in like the last 25 years to play over 800 minutes and have 7 or less turnovers. That's at insane. One point in the season.
Ben was number two in the country in turnover rate. Jake Davis was number 4.
Yeah. So like, you know, and I went back and forth with, I think it was Rafael Davis. You know, he was trying to tell me that it wasn't impressive what those two guys did from a ball security standpoint, because he was trying to tell me they were never involved in actions. And I'm like, you know, they're if you're a screener, a pick and pop guy, not only that, like once they got the pick and pop, they had to transport the ball from point A to point B to get into the second side of the action a lot of times or sometimes. So like you put yourself at risk for moving screens, which is a turnover. And you put yourself at risk for turnovers when you're going into DHOs and when you're moving from, you know, when you're being that connector, getting it from point A to point B. So they weren't just standing in the corner all year.
Yeah, this is a turnover rate. It's based on usage, right?
Like, yeah. I shouldn't have to explain it, but yeah. So it's, you don't have to deviate much with Jake. And I think he should have a lot of comfort knowing what he brings to the table. And the hope is that some of these freshmen, like that can be the blueprint for them to see time as like, oh, take care of the ball, make shots, tough, compete, positionally, defensively, be in the right spot. I think all that is what Jake Davis does.
Well, Michael, too, appreciate you as always, man. It was too long. Probably hope not to wait as long for the next one, but enjoy the rest of your summer, man, and we'll catch up here soon.
Appreciate it, man. Talk soon.
Great stuff as always from Mike Letoup. Of course, he is the goods. We appreciate his insight as always. Get a little basketball fix here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. Thank you to you guys for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube. Hit that like button, subscribe to us, and hit the notifications bell as well. We will continue to cover Illinois basketball. They're getting away a little bit, as Mike said. You see Jake Davis over in Croatia enjoying some time off. They'll be back on campus for workouts here very shortly. Recruiting will really pick up here in September and October. They already got 3 5-star prospects set for official visits this fall. So we will have the latest, of course, as always, at IlliniInquirer.com. VIP membership, 60% off right now for your first full year of membership. That's more than $80 of savings. Or you can just try us for 1 month. It's just $1 for your first month of Illini Inquirer VIP access. And after that, you get complimentary access to Paramount Plus as well. So go check us out at IlliniInquirer.com. But for Michael Tulip, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.